Hello, Candace.
Hello.
I've somehow ruined our podcast setup and my microphone is not working. So me and Candace are passing one microphone back and forth between us because we have a guest that needs her own microphone because she's going to talk the most.
Yes.
Hello, guest.
Hello.
That was, oh no, that wasn't, I don't know, I don't think I'd know that that was her. Do you think you'd know?
Say hello again.
Hello.
No, I don't remember.
That was a little bit more British than the first one.
I was going to say, surely the accent gives it away.
No? The shorter that, yeah? Yeah, I reckon, surely. Katie.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
We thought about this one for a while, haven't we?
I'm just going to sit on here and see if this is
going to be helpful. Do you feel like I'm interviewing you now? Because I'm holding the microphone and I'm passing it back and forth to me and Candace. It's going to be a long podcast.
Yes. What are you doing here?
Just come for a chat.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about who the bloody hell are you. How long have you been here for?
Just over a year.
I feel like I
can't focus.
Look ridiculous to Katie because Candace and I are now sitting very, very close together. So this is uncomfortable and not our normal podcast. But that's okay. We're going to get through this together. All right. So you've been coming for almost a year.
Just over a year.
How did you find out about us? Hey, I'll tell you what, when you want to talk, just grab that microphone, okay? I'm not going to keep passing it to you. You just grab it. Who told you about it?
Ash. So I started seeing Ash when I had my knee injury. I was on crutches and I was so sore.
I was like,
sore.
Who the fuck's Ash? Briggsy.
Briggsy, sorry. Yeah. I call her Ash.
Yeah, call her by her first name like a normal person. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And she roped me into coming to see Candace for PT after I just got off my crutches from my knee stress fracture.
I remember seeing you hobble up the stairs many times before you joined. When you first saw this, when you were seeing Ash, what did you think of the gym? Were you like, dickheads jumping around like bloody wallies? Or what did you think?
Nah, I thought it was pretty cool. I remember watching thinking like, I could never do that. Like, I knew about CrossFit. I'd watched like the docos on Netflix and stuff and thought that's awesome, but never something I'd thought about doing myself.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. History in before you started training here, sports-wise, all that sort of stuff. Sarah told me a fun fact about you today that I didn't know.
I'm glad you're sharing that with everyone.
She seems to share lots of things about you.
Okay.
Dr. Katie. So she told me a fun fact about your sporting history today that I was not aware of. So, tell us like how has fitness always been part of your life?
Yes. So like always sport obsessed, grew up at school playing every sport.
Got that siblings?
An older brother.
Yep.
Played everything, like anything that was on offer. I was playing for the school team at lunchtime, after school, everything. And then when I was 12, I got into playing basketball. And then, just took off from there and then never looked back. But always played like hockey, netball, everything at school as well.
Were you tall?
I was tall. Am I not tall now?
No, like when you first started playing. I want to know, kids who get into basketball, do you get into it because you're tall and then you realize you're good at it? Or do you get into it because you like it?
Sometimes. No, I didn't. They had trials on like at the local leisure center and I played netball when I was pretty good at netball, so
because
I was tall.
I'm joking.
And then I just went along to the trials and that's the first time I'd really ever played basketball because we didn't play at school.
Yeah.
And then I was tall, so that helped. But I was tall from a young age and then everyone kind of caught up to me. So I wasn't like excessively tall, especially when I went into the basketball world, I was not tall.
That's interesting. And then so when you started basketball, then did all the other sports stop and then you just took off with basketball or how did that work?
No, I carried on playing everything through school and then it got a bit, I guess when basketball got a bit serious, which was like quite early on, like 13, 14, I carried on playing netball and hockey and everything at school. And then once I left school and went to uni, I played basketball and netball first year and then just basketball.
Yeah. And then what's the fun fact that Sarah told me about you today? Did you only tell her today?
No, it was the other day.
You got to stop telling her stuff, man. If you don't want her to know, she'll tell everyone.
I didn't realise she was telling everyone. that I played for Wales.
Yeah, that's cool. So was that your whole job?
No. It was like a 3-month stint. That I was living in Wales and I have Welsh grandparents on one side.
Did you have a job at the same time?
Yeah, I was working full-time in swimming still. I was 26 when I started playing for them. Mm. And it was just like in the lead up to one tournament that I got selected. They don't really have a senior Wales like women's team that is ongoing. So it was just for this one tournament.
That's cool though. It's a very cool story.
We lost all our games, but you know.
Yay.
They just...
You don't even have to say that.
Oh, no. It wasn't really my international debut that I'd hoped for, but...
Well, the good thing is, I guess, when you play a team sport, you don't have to just blame yourself.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't on me. It was everyone else, right?
It was everyone else. It was nothing to do with you. What next?
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast, Ken.
Don't touch me. I'm very sweaty because I'm sitting so... on top of my hand. Hello, Katie.
This is not awkward at all.
I'm uncomfortable because we're sitting directly in front of each other now. I don't know what to say. No, it's gone from my brain. Tell me what you do for work.
Dr. Katie.
I'm a doctor. I'm a sports scientist. That's what I tell people.
And when you say I'm a sports scientist, what do people normally follow up with? Do they have follow-up questions or do they go,
They don't really know what it is or they think I'm a physio. Yeah.
And then you're like, no, I'm a doctor, bitch.
No. No. But I should use it more, but I don't.
Absolutely. You should.
But then I'm scared that someone's going to think I can actually help them in a medical emergency, which I can't.
Like, you don't want to play when they're like, there are any doctors on board?
Yes. That is my worst nightmare. I do not put doctor when I travel.
Oh, really? No. For that reason?
Yeah.
I feel like Candace will start putting doctor when she starts traveling just so she can get her medical emergency somewhere. She'll get it mid-flight and then she will be very happy. So if you ever get caught in medical emergency, just call Candace and she will pretend.
Pretend for me.
Yes,
cool.
100%.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so work. When did you start? Did you always know you wanted to become a sports scientist?
Well, I studied sports science. I didn't really know what sports scientists did at that time.
Were you good at science at school?
Yeah, I was probably, yeah, I suppose so.
I feel like no one's good at science at school. That's cool. I just feel like science is really hard.
Yeah.
So, it's very broad. It's a very large subject.
Yeah. I just wanted to do something in sport. That's all I knew. And then so I went and did that. And then I did a placement year in Tasmania, random, working in the institute there. And that's when I guess I realised what a sports scientist actually does.
What do they do?
Where do I start? I guess working with athletes to, in a broad sense, just optimise performance. That's very broad, but yeah.
And then how do you know what to do? Like as in, you know how you like optimise?
Yeah.
Is it because there's always new research, right? Especially in this field. So how often are you having to do more study to figure out what the next thing is?
Well, I did a lot of study. I think 8 years of study to get the job that I'm in now. I guess we're meant to, you know, keep up to date with research by like reading journal articles and things, but it's honestly hard to find the time when you're so busy to do that. So I kind of rely on other people like Twitter, just reading like little snippets of things. And having two PhD students, I just get them to tell me stuff so I don't have to read it myself.
Smart.
Yep.
That's really good. Full-time?
Yep.
And are the hours always the same?
Absolutely not.
I saw your story this morning. What time are you at uni this morning?
5:30.
Very early in the morning?
Yes, it can range like early mornings, late nights, weekends, overseas trips where you're like basically 24/7 pretty much.
Is it what you thought it was going to be, the job?
Probably not. Mm. No.
Interesting.
It seems glamorous from the outside, and I think sports science students think, oh, it's so cool, you're only working with elite athletes and you get to travel the world. But it's definitely not glamorous. You're in a hotel, you go to the pool, to the hotel, to the pool, and yeah, you're working 24 hours a day.
Are most athletes respectful of you, or can they be like a bit savage?
Bit of both.
Bit of both.
It depends on the person. Yeah.
Can they be like frustrated and annoyed that they have to do the things with you?
Is
that
what it is? Yeah. Yeah. And coaches are frustrating to work with too.
Yeah. Whole big old world that I would say like most people just would have no idea about, right? Like what you do.
Yeah. It's hard, really hard to explain it to people.
Yeah. And like, you know, we know what an electrician does.
Yes.
Like, you know, we can see an electrician work and, well, you don't even have to see it. You can like put it together. But what you do, I think, is one of those jobs that people can't really understand until they, unless they actually did it, right?
Yeah. Or if someone like came to work with me for a day, then they'd understand. Well, they wouldn't necessarily understand, but they would see what it is. Yeah,
cool.
But
I might do that.
Yeah, please do. It's just like, yeah, sure. Great. It's intangible. So it's hard to, it's hard to like quantify, I guess.
That's cool. Anyway, back to our gym experience. I think are you laughing so much because I'm holding the microphone?
I'm just like here.
Like, do you want to hold it for a bit?
No,
you can hold it.
It's okay.
No one can hear you. What is that?
Okay, I have a question. Why swimming?
We didn't even talk about swimming.
But what, she works in swimming. Oh, okay. Why do you work in swimming?
It's a fair question. Honestly, I was never a swimmer. I enjoy swimming, but I never swam competitively or at a club. It was honestly the first job I got when I finished my master's was in swimming, and then just stuck with it ever since. And it's good from like being a physiologist in swimming. There's a lot of physiology in swimming, whereas other, like team sports won't use a physiologist as much.
Is that how you met Briggsy? Through that?
No, I met her here. And then
just as a massage. So you were looking for a massage therapist?
I was looking. Yeah. So now my Paralympic team lead role, I was looking for a second massage therapist, and there was Briggsy.
Worked out well, didn't it?
It did.
I just feel like you need to hold it.
Give it back.
She keeps just taking it off you anyway.
Okay, so that's why. How long have you been doing that job for?
10 years in January.
Shit. So you studied for 8, now you've finally been doing it longer than you studied. That's exciting.
Well, I studied during it as well, so kind of overlapped.
That's cool. That's cool. Do you reckon you'll do it for a long time? Hard to tell.
TBC.
Always be in the sports science.
I hope so. Yeah.
Field.
Yeah. Yep.
That's cool.
Is there a different sport that you would like to work in if it wasn't swimming?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, probably many.
Is that a bit controversial?
No. Triathlon kind of interests me
because
it's got like the three disciplines and you're not just stuck, you know, it's just swimming. You've got three different areas, and swimming is very hard because it's water-based to like measure many things, whereas cycling and running, you can measure stuff on land so much easier.
Probably really interested in that because you're a freak on the bike as well, maybe. Maybe that's helpful.
Maybe.
You like a good cycle, don't you, Katie?
I do. I've done a few triathlons in my time.
Have you? You've done some tries?
Yeah.
When did you do those?
I only started when I came out to Australia. So I think I did my first one in 2017 or 18, just to like a sprint, and loved it. And I was looking for something else to train for when I realized that my injuries probably weren't going to let me play basketball ever again. And then, just got hooked and started just entering triathlons, and then did my first Olympic distance one in 2019 before, obviously, all the things happened. So, yeah.
I don't feel so bad losing to her on the bike every day now.
Did you just think she was a freak?
Yeah.
Ah. Okay, if it makes sense.
Only through training, it's not just a miracle that's happened.
She didn't even know that you did that, though.
Oh,
she just
thought
you were just, like, freak.
Just really good on the bike.
Yeah, really good for new. Like, I knew you would have been well practiced on the bike, but I didn't know you had done tries.
Oh, I mean, just recreationally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, pro basketball player, though, so that would have helped.
Not hardly.
I'm joking. So there's a little bit of a, like, we've story jumped. Basketball. When did you move here? Did you move here by yourself? Was it like, I want to live in Australia? Like, how did that all happen?
I moved here in January 2017 for the PhD. So I got the PhD offered to me, and I was already working full time in the UK in swimming, and I decided to pack my bags and move to the other side of the world and give up my job and go back to studying, which is crazy. But
so did you, like, with that, did you apply knowing that you would have to leave the country, like your country? Is that what happened? Like, you knew you would be coming to Australia?
Yeah, like I applied. It was based in Brisbane, and I'd obviously like been to Tassie for the year and knew I loved Australia, but hadn't really been. I'd been on a couple of camps for work to Perth, and then the Gold Coast. And
Move here by yourself?
I did initially, but my partner obviously moved across. He just came 5 months after I did because he had to finish up work and move house and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, and I applied for it during the Rio Olympics and completely forgot about it. Didn't get a response for like 3 months. And then all of a sudden I get this email asking me for an interview and then had to decide between a full-time job or move to Australia for a PhD. And here I am.
How long did that decision take? Do you remember? Was there a lot of like back and forth?
Yeah, there will be. And because I wasn't going to move out here on my own without my partner. So it was like he has to move or we don't go. So he's always followed me around kind of everywhere I've gone.
Lucky.
And yeah, he moved to Tassie with me for the year as well. So he liked Australia. So I think it was an opportunity I just couldn't say no to.
It's pretty cool. And then are you going to stay here?
I hope so, but visa issues, you know, we're not sure yet. But
you'd like to?
I would like to, yes.
Stay here long term?
Yes, I just need someone to give me a visa.
Don't know how that works. If I had one on me,
just hand it over.
I'd swing it to you. Absolutely no worries. You probably know more about all the test stuff in Australian history than I do. Have you seen the stuff I have to study? It's pretty full on. So you get here and then you start doing a couple of triathlons.
Yep.
And you talk us through your injury history. I might just lean back for this bit.
Yeah.
I won't have to
How long
have
we got?
Yeah. I won't have to say too much for the next little while. Tell us the first one and then what happened after that.
Oh, I mean, if we're going for the very first one, like tore ligaments in my ankles many times playing basketball. It's just a hazard of the sport. And then it probably started that year I was playing for Wales. I had got a foot injury in the tournament. And so the physio was heavily strapping my foot every game. And then I was in a moon boot for a while after that. Ended up not finding out what it was. Think it was a stress fracture or stress response, but never got a clear diagnosis. And then since then, I just had to manage the foot and then it kind of just disappeared. And then boom, when COVID hit, I rolled the ankle again in 2020 in June. And I thought it was just a normal, like I rolled my ankle so many times. I was like, oh, I'll be fine, you know? And it just never healed the way it should have. And then it was just such a long process, 2 surgeries to fix the ankle, which was probably like 18 months of like moon boot, crutches, surgeries, appointments, injections, all that sort of stuff.
Was that the same side as the foot?
It was, yes.
Interesting.
Interestingly. Same side. So then finally got the reconstruction, like surgery on the ankle, which tightened up all my ligaments, which has solved the issue. But then I think it was 5 months after that, I started the return to run program, did 2 runs, very brief runs following physio's instructions to the T, and got pain in my knee. And then, yeah, quickly found out it was a stress fracture in my tibial plateau, and then was on crutches again. And that's when I started here, like after seeing Ash, like I'd just come off crutches, I think the week before I walked in for PT with Candice. So I'd been on crutches for quite a while and then was sort of rehabbing the knee, and that was kind of going all right. And then this January this year, the elbow started hurting and out of nowhere, never had any upper body injuries at all. And yeah, that's been an ongoing process, and obviously lots of injections and things and another surgery, and hopefully on the mend now. But yeah, it's been a 3.5 years, I think, of just constant, up and down.
Pretty constant, hey? Like there wasn't really, in the last 3.5 years, have you had like a moment of my entire body is healthy, I can do what I want?
No.
That's wild, hey?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It's always been one thing or the other that stopped me doing something. Like one thing will come good and then another thing will fall apart.
And mentally, I guess that's one of the biggest things I want to touch on today is, like, I from the outside looking in, you cope quite well. Would you say you're really good at pretending sometimes, or do you feel like you cope quite well?
A bit of both. It depends on the day. Like, I guess at the start of the journey, I probably struggled more. Like now it's been 3.5 years. I'm just so used to being injured. It's like, it's just almost normal now. It doesn't make it any easier, but yeah, I'm not a person to share like emotions and feelings with many people. So I guess I just cover it up well and put on a brave face and hopefully no one would ever know unless they asked. And it's easier when your injury is not visible, like when you're on crutches in a moon boot, everyone's constantly asking you like what's going on, and that's exhausting. But at least with the arm, it has pros and cons, but like no one could see it. It wasn't visible. So like people wouldn't know unless they asked.
And then I would say it's relatively rare that people start doing CrossFit or start with us injured. Like a lot of the time people will be training and then they might get an injury, and then we talk them through how to continue training whilst being injured, and we can help them with the management. However, you started injured. Was that difficult joining? I know you did PT first. How long was it just PT for?
I don't know. I think I feel like we did one every week for a little while, and then we like spread it out a little bit.
Yeah, and then I did foundations with Sarah like for a while before I started classes. I think it was a couple of months before I started classes.
Yeah.
But obviously everything was scaled.
Yeah, so did you find it difficult mentally or emotionally doing such different things to the rest of the class? Was that a difficult thing for you to do?
I think at the start it wasn't that different, because by the time I started classes I was able to do most things, but just like, you know, maybe not squat to full depth or just squat to a target instead, which like didn't really bother me. And I didn't know anything else right at the time. Like ever since I've been doing CrossFit, I've never done what everyone else is doing pretty much. There's not very few classes where I probably did what the workout was scaled or whatever. But yeah, so I guess I just didn't know anything different.
That's cool. And still, obviously, it's so exciting to see you squatting and stuff in class again now. You would come in like however long after your surgery in your arm, then you jump on the bike and you join in question of the day, and then you always just get on with it, and it's very I don't know how to say the word, admirable. So is that, did I nail that? Thanks doctor. And it's, yeah, it's just, you just get on with it. I just feel like whatever's going on, whether it's in your head or not, you're just very good at doing whatever you have planned for that day, regardless of what else is going on. And I think my experience as a coach is, as females, we get really tied emotionally to the physical pain. And I feel maybe it's like the years of experience you've had with physical pain, but you're very good at separating it, and you will just get on with like and work the absolute hardest you can in what you're able to do.
Yeah, I guess I've never had a problem pushing myself. Like that's always been just the norm. Like, and I do, you know, watching, I'm over in the corner doing my thing and then watching everyone else do all the cool stuff that I can't do. Yeah, some days it gets to me more than others, and, you know, people getting excited with PBs and stuff, and I'm like, you try and be happy for them, right? But yeah, then it's also hard because you're like, well, I can't do any of that stuff, and I can't see a time when I will be able to do it. So, but yeah, I mean, just get on with it. Like, I don't see what the other option is. Like, I can't do nothing.
I think a lot of people take that option if they would be in a situation where they can't do, you know, much, like if there's an entire limb gone or whatever. Like I feel like a lot of people would take that option. They'd go, oh, I'd rather do nothing because I don't want to do, you know, something this different to the rest of the class, which sucks.
Yeah. I mean, that would drive me crazy doing nothing. Like I just couldn't, like even having a week off the week I had surgery, like kind of set to force me not to come in basically. And then as soon as the week was up, I was like, can I come back? Because I just need to do, like my whole life I've been like that. I just need something. Even like a rest day is a hard thing for me to have. I always feel like I should be doing more than I am. I don't know why, but I just, yeah, do.
Mm. Yeah. I wonder how many people feel like that. Do you feel like that? Feel like you need to do more than you do?
Yes.
Mm. Interesting. Must be a doctor thing. You have anything to say now?
I'm just listening now. I'm not actively participating. I'm just here. So what's the plan now?
Try and be not injured, basically.
How's that going for you?
Yeah. I mean, it's up and down. Mm. Every day is different.
So like, you just had another round of injections in your knee.
Just had an injection in my knee last Monday. Yeah. So that was pretty sore last week. And all I did was basically glutes and core last week. and a bit of arm rehab. And then, yeah, it was going good at the start of this week. And now, yeah, it's a bit sore today from something last night. So it's just like a constant up and down. But, yeah, the ultimate goal is just not be injured and be able to do all the things. But that's probably realistically a long way off.
Thanks. My hand was getting sore from holding the microphone. As someone who has to often do different stuff in the gym, from that perspective, what do other members say? Do they say stuff to you, like, about it? Like, are people like, why are you on the bike so much? What do you, you know, like, I want to know, like, do people comment on you doing different things?
Sometimes. I think now it's been so long that people just don't say anything. But I think at the start people were like, oh, you know, what are you, why are you like doing that? And I tell them, and then, because often they like, they look at me and they think like, I've not got a moon boot on crutches. Like, why can't I do all the things? And now everyone just knows. So I don't really need to. But yeah, some people just ask, oh, like, what are you doing today? Or like, what are you going to do instead of this? And then, so they're just interested to see like what I'm doing instead.
Yeah, that's cool. I was just interested to know. Because I think, yeah, again, I think your presence is, it's almost like a confident presence that you're totally fine doing your own thing. Like, I think a lot of people in that situation, they look a bit helpless and they want people like, come and talk to me, like, come and just make me feel a bit happy. So I was curious to see if that was something that, you know, you got often, if people approached you and was fucks up with you.
Yeah, I think sometimes people feel a bit sorry for me just being over in the corner like on my own, but I'm so used to it now.
Yeah, it's Katie's,
it's my corner.
It's Katie's corner. Katie's gone, it's changed from Candace corner to Katie's corner. What else, Katie? What else, Candace?
Hello.
I keep going to say stuff like, while you, like, you know, you just can't have the same interaction. It's very different. I'm just talking now because I haven't talked much yet. I got nothing, actually.
Nothing?
No. Yeah, I think so we're working together now, programming, trying to get this arm right. See how we go. Yeah. And the knee and the hamstring.
And the, oh, yeah, the hamstring. Yeah. Yeah. Yep, all of the above.
Yeah, so I wonder if your injuries came from, like, because we couldn't do stuff with your knee, we had to like do so much upper body stuff, and then we overloaded. I mean, we didn't have much of a choice really, but we overloaded that tissue too much, you know?
Yeah.
We're just like scaling around things. We ended up doing too much.
Yeah, I think so. Something else. I think that's where the hamstrings probably come from.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we're doing heaps of hamstring stuff, and it's just inevitable consequence, I guess.
What just next? Are you going to give you rhabdo or something from GHD?
Sarah's so worried about giving me rhabdo.
Can you stop admitting that we fucked her up? Like, this is...
It's on me, mate. Don't worry.
It's also just inevitable when you have, like, an upper body limb, like an upper limb and a lower limb. Like, what are you meant to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And you never know. Like, I think just ever since I rolled my ankle that day, I remember that day vividly. Like, it's just all gone downhill from there. Like, it's just... I feel like I've done all the right things, but it just doesn't seem to get any better. So I'm just so worried about getting injured again, or injuring a different body part that isn't already injured, because that's a whole nother ball game. But fingers crossed that it ain't.
Is that a daily thought that comes in your head? Is that like a constant concern?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's hard not to when you've had so much happen. And then, like, one thing will be going well and something else pops up, like the hamstring popped up out of nowhere. And I'm so worried about getting the same thing in my other arm that I had in my right arm. So, yeah, it's hard not to, but try not to let it stop me doing the things. But it is there for sure.
Yeah, I think you're doing a pretty good job of not letting it stop you, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think I can do another one. I think this is it. This is it. I can't do any more.
We got the whole rest of your life to go, so.
Yeah.
Hold strong. Is there anything you would recommend or like to say to others that come across an injury?
Patience. Something I'm not very good at generally in life, but over the last 3.5 years I've had to be extremely patient and not rush the process, because you want to do all the things right as soon as you can. But I think now I want to be more conservative in my rehab than I would have been first time around. So I think just be more conservative than aggressive. Just play it safe, because it's just not worth risking. And it affects your everyday life, right? It doesn't just affect you in the gym. Like, I've been in chronic pain for 3.5 years and it's exhausting. So having to live with that at work, at home, your whole life, it's just not worth it. So, yeah, patience.
I like it. Patience is a good one. Got anything else, Lamy? We good? You got anything else, Katie?
No.
I have a question.
Oh, so do I.
Oh, you go.
Well, we were talking before.
It's the same question.
Is it?
Is it what we're talking about
at the
dance
end? No. Okay, there you go. I already had this planned as the question, then we started talking about before the podcast about swearing. What's your favourite swear word?
Probably shit.
Okay. Would you consider that, you said before that you don't say any bad ones. Is that a good one? That's an acceptable one.
It's not that bad, is it? Yeah.
No,
I don't think so.
just a normal word.
It's gotta be poo! No.
I've got to be careful when and where I swear, like at work and stuff.
Are you not allowed? Not well, frowned upon?
We do.
She's a fucking doctor, mate. Of course she's not allowed to swear at work. It'd be very unprofessional.
It depends who I'm talking to. Yeah, and how professional I feel like I need to be. How relaxed I am with that person.
Do you use emojis in emails?
In emails?
Yeah.
No.
In text, if you don't know someone?
If I don't know them, no.
She's disgusted.
I feel like you should throw the little swimming on in there and just see what happens. Just sign off, Katie, swim.
Okay, I'll try it.
I would say Katie, bike, but...
Bike, swim, bike?
She's talking to swimming people, like I feel like, you know, that
swim one. Yeah, okay.
Katie, swim.
I feel like it's not very professional maybe to use an email.
That's the question though today is, do you use emojis in email or text if you don't know someone?
Oh, yeah.
Mine's a no in email, maybe in text, depending on the... Like if it's like a new person inquiring and they were to text, I'd be like, smiley, we're so happy here. You will love it. but email, no.
No.
Doesn't. I don't know why.
You? Yeah, I think, do you want me to,
I'm interviewing you. You?
I think I use them a lot more than I am as a person. Like I use them a lot, but like to talk to me as a person, I'm not like laughing, crying face, you know, like, but I use it quite.
You're saying you're not animated?
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like,
is that just the Botox?
maybe. Yeah, I do use them a lot because I feel like if you don't, it sounds like a bit harsh. So you're like, laughy cry face, it's fine.
Did I just hijack your question? Did Katie even answer it? What was your question?
I'm not even here, so it doesn't matter. Favorite swear word?
Oh, yeah.
She said shit.
Yeah.
I say fuck a lot in all contexts. So it would probably be that. What's yours?
I like them all. Someone told me in class yesterday in my notes about the workout. Yesterday I wrote my knees being a hoe. Probably a hoe right now if I had to choose.
I saw that one.
Yeah. Just fitting, you know?
Yeah.
Knees being a hoe.
I need to use that more maybe.
Yeah, okay. You should try it.
Yeah.
It feels good. It's nice. My question, we're just going to ask another question now because I also like this one. Well, it's three questions. The one we were just talking about, what was the actual question?
Tell us a fun fact about yourself.
Yeah, you know how it's like when you go, because, oh, so Sarah.
Yes.
So Sarah said that you're doing a course this weekend.
Yes.
You're doing.
I'm doing my CrossFit level one this weekend.
You're doing your level one, which is very, very exciting. So Sarah said, I don't remember it. But Sarah said they get you to stand up, say your name and say a fun fact. I don't feel like they did that because there was like 50 of us in the course. So maybe it would have taken too long. Did you have to do it?
On the level two, we had to get up and say where we worked and what we did, but not a fun fact. I would probably have left.
I hate that.
She just would have got up and walked out.
We do that like at work things, you know, like break the ice and stand up and I just hate it.
Yeah, you got to get more specific, like question of the day questions, very specific. Like you can answer like truthfully. It's not like just this like subjective feeling about yourself.
Yeah, trying to big yourself up.
Yeah.
And that's why always... I've got that go-to one now though, because before I'd be like, I've got nothing.
So what is it? What's your go-to?
I play basketball for Wales because it's like the only mildly interesting.
That's how this all
that's how this all came around.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's yours? Candace, tell me a fun fact about you.
Fuck it. We were talking about this downstairs. I cannot think of one that I would say.
Well, you're on the news and I want you to tell me. You've got lots of viewers right now. You need to say a fun fact about you.
Oh, I'm so uncomfortable. Yeah, I can't think of anything.
And I feel like you shoved that thing down my throat.
You know what else is fun about you? Your last name is Lem.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun. Lemmy. You're a little sheepy sheep. Right. Oh, wait. Is Lem a sheep? Never mind. I just don't want people to like know that I said that, but I already said it. I'm left-handed.
Me too.
Worlds or left-handed? Obviously, you choose the lefty. It's way more impressive and took way more skill.
Maybe I'll use that one then.
No, Worlds is definitely better. Or you could say you're a left-handed basketball player.
They play for Wales.
Yeah, probably not.
I reckon left-handed. Or I can do this with my thumb. No one can see. But I reckon that's pretty fun.
That's weird.
Yeah. So that's from a sports scientist, everyone. She thinks I'm weird. My thumb is bending backwards. It's like 90 degrees. Yeah. Anyway. Thanks so much for coming to hang out. Sorry it was a bit weird. Not normally this weird and uncomfortable. And Candace and I normally aren't like Siamese twins. But today we are. Would you like to wrap this up with anything else, Candace?
I think I'm good.
Thanks so much, Katie.
Thanks.